I know there is only one. One universe, one spirit, one multifaceted energy, sometimes called creator or God. There is nothing outside of this one. There is no outside. There is only this, this one. This one is all power, all life, all love, joy, peace, and all the creativity that exists is of that. It is all there is. And since it is all there is, I know I am of this. I am not separate or apart, but one of it. And since it is all there is, I know we are all of this. There is no separation. So it follows that we are of that power, love, and creativity. We are all drops of that amazing water we call the ocean of spirit, made of the same stuff with the same power and potential. Today, I speak my word that this creativity is mine to direct. God is the power and I am the artist. I know this. I see it in my life every day. I see it in the world around me all the time. I choose my targets. I use my words. I state my intentions, and I know somehow God will make it so. My word creates my life. All the beauty, joy, peace, love that is mine today, I know I have called forth. It isn't luck or serendipity or hubris. It is just the way it works. It is the power of my word. And I know that each of us has this power. As I pause and listen to spirit and acknowledge the visions that come to me, I let them pull me forward. I release my way and let the mystery of how unfold. How do I get from here to that future? I feel it, and then I let it go. I let go and let God, and then I do the next indicated thing. And I do all of this gratefully. I am so grateful to know this truth, so grateful to have this community to support and be supported by as we grow together, ever stronger, ever more loving, ever more filled with the joy and peace that is God, Spirit, Creator, that is us, our essence. And today and always, I release my word, this word of power, this word of understanding, this word of love and joy into that law, into that miracle power, which hears and obeys. In gratitude, I say, and so it is.
This whole month, we are working with the idea of living as conduits of compassion. Being conduits, being open for the compassion that already exists to flow through us. And today we're taking on an interesting talk topic. And that the topic is, God is not motivated if I'm not. God is not motivated if I'm not. Which I found to be an interesting thing to explore, topic to explore. And it raises a great question. What is God motivated to do anyway? Or what is God's plan, if you will? The truth is that spirit deals in expressing its nature. It just expresses its nature. The galaxies and the planets, the animals and the plants, all are expressions of an evolving expression of the nature of the One. Now, the One itself is not evolving. It's already whole, complete, and perfect. But its expression, how it is being, is evolving. Is constantly more and more and more ideas expressing. And eventually, in this expression of its own nature, it evolved beings of consciousness, which if you're familiar with Douglas Adams, are the mice. That's from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. However, if you're not familiar with that, the beings of consciousness are us, you and me, who co-create with the infinite. We become co-creators with the infinite. The universe itself awaits the acknowledgement of humans, of man, The universe itself awaits our acknowledgement and our awareness of it. If we want the infinite power and presence, the nature of the universe, which is life, which is love, which is wisdom, which is power, which is peace, which is beauty and joy, if we want that to show up in our lives in specific ways, we have to be motivated. We have to be passionate. We have to have a conviction about those ways. Because the infinite, I like to say, a friend of mine called the infinite just dysfunctionally loving. It loves and it doesn't care. You know, the infinite is like a big blob of love and joy that is in total acceptance of anything and everything. Ah, you screwed up your relationship. Here, have another one. Here, you lost all your money. Here, have some more. You lost this body. Have another one. You know, it's the ultimate. It's all good. Because that's what the love aspect of the universe. There's also the law aspect of the universe, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the love aspect of the universe doesn't care. It's just experiencing life as itself. It is we who have grown discernment of what we like and what we don't like, and we who have the freedom, the power, and the responsibility to form the infinite substance into forms that work for us. We create specifics of this universal love, of this universal life, of this universal wisdom here on this planet. See, the one mind doesn't care who's president of the United States on a small planet orbiting a star at the edge of one of the millions or billions of galaxies. It's irrelevant to the one life. It doesn't take sides because it doesn't have sides. There's only one. A oneness doesn't have sides. But we have preference and choice. We specify the way the infinite shows up in our lives. And as we are motivated, as we are motivated to do so, it surges forth with its nature, and it expresses as and in the ways that we specify. It doesn't care, but we do. This is what we mean when we talk about the law. The law effect is merely the process by which thought becomes form. We don't create the law, but we can use the law. Just like we don't create the law of electricity, it was already there before mankind ever arrived on the planet. But we can use it, and we grow in our ways to use it. Ernest Holmes said, genius is nothing less than the ability of the intellect, will, and emotion to surrender themselves to something greater than themselves. Genius is nothing less than the ability of the intellect, will, and emotion to surrender themselves to something greater than themselves. See, our intellect, will, and emotion get stuck on our current level. They get stuck. And so we have to open up. We have to create an opening. We have to surrender to something greater if we're to have something greater. As we interact with the universe, no new laws are created, but potentials are realized and revealed. Actually, in the reverse, are revealed and then realized. This is why we say it is already so, and so it is. Because all potentials are already present. They're already in existence. They're awaiting our activation of them. The poet Robert Browning referred to it as a spark disturbs our clod of dirt. A spark disturbs our clod. We often stay stuck in our clod consciousness. It's familiar, it's safe, it's comfortable. But the field of infinite possibility holds so much more than we now know and access. Think of all the discoveries and all the inventions of the last 100 years. All the laws, all the means, everything that was necessary for them to be activated were always there. The law of aerodynamics was there before the Wright brothers ever put a plane into action, into form. All these laws, all these means were always there. We just hadn't accessed them or learned to use them. And it wasn't until people listened to the divine spark within. And that doesn't mean that they were religious or spiritual people, but they heard something within. Thomas Edison refers to it as hearing this tap-tap of the universe, constantly feeding him ideas, constantly feeding him more. When they listened to that divine spark within and they surrendered to something greater, then something new could happen, something that hadn't been seen by us before. Chris Holmes also says, we are part of an evolutionary epoch in the unfoldment of the human race, an evolutionary emergence of the push, or whatever you want to call this thing back of all things, which always shoves itself through an instrument that is prepared to receive it. I love that line. It's always shoves itself through an instrument that is prepared to receive it, and that is the key. We must be prepared to receive it. This is key. If we're not prepared, we won't hear it, we won't see it, we won't know how to apply it. There are seeds that don't germinate until they're exposed to extreme heat or extreme cold. The caterpillar, as we all know, doesn't become a butterfly until it ceases becoming a caterpillar and turns into a soupy, unformed mess. Some of us may be feeling like caterpillar messes these days with all that's going on in the world. And yet, if we pay attention, if we prepare to receive it, the same imaginal cells that are present in the caterpillar are present in us. The same urge of the universe to create something new is present within us right now. The same transformative consciousness is already present, waiting to be awakened, like Sleeping Beauty waiting for the kiss of the princess. These things are asleep within us, and that the prince represents that spark, that motivating factor that awakens it within us. If we cling to our old, comfortable, tried and true ways, we will stay as caterpillars. We'll stay as unactivated seeds. We have to let the spark disturb our clod. The process of disturbance is not easy, is it? You know, we talk about people who are having issues as being, I think that person is disturbed. Jesus in the Gospel of Thomas says, those who seek should not stop seeking until they find. When they find, they will be disturbed. When they are disturbed, they will marvel and will rule over all. When we realize, see, most people in the world live in victim consciousness. Life is just happening to me. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, it's just happening to me. When we start to wake up and realize that our thoughts are creating our reality, we become disturbed. It's what I call the good news, bad news of religious science. It's like, you got a mess in your hand? Well, here's the bad news is you created the mess. The good news is you can change the mess because you can change your thinking. When we're first disturbed, oh my God, I'm creating this mess. But then we marvel because if I've created this mess, I can create something far more wonderful instead. And then we rule over all of our thoughts. We rule over all of our life because we realize that we are the co-creators with the universe. The reward for surrendering into being disturbed is more freedom and more life. The butterfly is far more free than the caterpillar. And the problems of the caterpillar's consciousness no longer disturb the butterfly. They're not relevant to it anymore. The germinated seed creates life, new life. In our teaching, we have a teaching symbol which graphically represents the creative process. Let me pop that up for just a moment. I'm going to have to go over two slides here. This teaching symbol, which many of you have seen, probably most of you have seen, which represents the creative process of the universe. And you can see, first of all, the whole thing is all one. There's only the infinite here. Okay, it's just different aspects of the infinite. So at the top, we have that objective consciousness, the infinite creativity that is looking to express, and it's continuously seeking to express through the subjective, which is the middle layer there. And to express a form, which is the bottom, of itself. It's continuously trying to push. And that V represents the push of spirit. The V represents, if we're willing to, our opening to the movement of spirit into form, the descent of spirit into matter. We live in and as the subjective, that middle layer. Our own subjective mind is either a clear channel or a distorted with misinformation and old beliefs, or a closed dam to the flow of life. What is my subjective? And that's, you know, in this teaching, that's the work we do to clear that middle layer, our own subjective. It determines our experience of the flow of the divine. And the form that shows up at the bottom is the automatic result of the objective and subjective above. If the subjective is clear, it's an automatic expression of the love and the power and the peace and the joy and the beauty of spirit. And if we're, you know, a little distorted, it's sort of like planting something in soil that doesn't really, maybe radioactive soil, and it comes up as sort of altered from what it really should be. It's no accident that all the spiritual traditions of the world engage in some form of preparation. In the Christian tradition, there are two 40-day periods of preparation preceding the two major holy days in this tradition. The first one is Advent, prior to the birth of the Christ consciousness. Next Sunday begins Advent in the Christian tradition. And then there's Lent, which is the preparation period prior to the resurrection into the new, more free life. And even after Jesus' departure, his disciples gathered in the upper room, high consciousness, for 10 days in deep prayer before having the mystical experience of the descent of the Holy Spirit. They prepared the ground. They prepared to receive. Other traditions, you know, Ramadan in the Islam tradition, many of the Jewish high holy days are periods of preparation and let us put aside clod thinking. Let us take our clod thinking and say, you know what? I'm not willing to be a clod anymore. I'm willing to go out into the wilderness. The wild, which is beyond what we think of, to prepare myself to become a clear conduit for the divine and to make clear, motivated choices to express the divine. I am willing to move forward. I am willing to prepare to receive. So this week, three spiritual practices. Number one, check your motivation. Are you motivated? Remember, spirit is not motivated if you're not. It's neutral. It doesn't have an agenda. It doesn't care whether you want to make $1 million or want to live in poverty. It doesn't care whether you want to have beautiful, wonderful, healthy body or want to live sick. It doesn't have an agenda for you that way. But you have an agenda. You have a preference. I have a preference. So check your motivation. Are you living in receptive to the infinite consciousness? Or are you living as clod consciousness? You know, this week we have Thanksgiving coming up. Gratitude is one of the greatest ways to motivate ourselves, to check our consciousness, not just one day of the year, but every day. Gratitude is a beautiful, powerful spiritual practice. The second practice then is be willing to get intimate with the infinite. Be willing to spend some time. It may disturb you. It may even rock your world. Boom, 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 boom. Anybody besides me? You know, you've had the infinite rock your world. But the end result is always greater freedom, life, and joy. even if it seems mucky and messy at the time that the, you know, the disturbance is happening, but out of that comes something new and something far better. And number three is set your intention. Set an intention. It guides the flow in your life. Your intention guides everything. It's not just an annual once a year on January 1st, set intentions for the year. There are people who set intentions every day. Every day, there are people who set intentions for the segment of every day. You know, I set an intention this morning to be a receptive place where I could deliver a powerful, motivated talk to you, to support you in growing and expressing your spiritual consciousness. I don't have an intention for this afternoon because the Seahawks aren't playing, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I might actually listen to the Thanksgiving service from the Interfaith Works, which I think I'm in. But anyways, but set intentions. Your intentions guide the flow of your life. So those are your three practices. Check your motivation. Be willing to get intimate with the infinite and set your intentions. Willing to play? Yes? Thumbs? Willing to play? Great. So I want to close with a quote. And again, this quote is from Ernest. You know, I heard a little, sometimes I use too many Ernest Holmes quotes, and sometimes I don't use any Ernest Holmes quotes, and sometimes I use a bunch. And this is, you know, the Science of Mind Center, so we're going to have Ernest Holmes. And today I was motivated by Ernest. So here we go. Next week, who knows who's going to be showing up. The moment you step out of the ordinary ranks, the moment you step out of the procession that moves endlessly down the aisle, you are in a spotlight of evolution. Your own choice, has decided you, and you are no longer going to think as others. You are no longer going to lay your greatness, at the feet of a person whom you recognize to be great. The moment you step out of the endless stream of humanity, you no longer go by the norm that was set by the mass mind. You are a leader. You are a thinker. You are one who introduces new things into the world. You are now one specifically chosen by cosmic intelligence for a definite purpose because you stuck your hand up and said, I am willing. But you must create the vision ahead of yourself. That's the purpose of intention. You must create the vision ahead of yourself. So we're going to close with our affirmation here. And say this with me. My mind is the mind of God itself. I am becoming the change I want to see in the world. Let's say that together one more time. My mind is the mind of God itself. I am becoming the change I want to see in the world. And so it is. So let's take all this gratitude, all this love within. Take it in, breathe it in, drink it in. I remember there is only one life, one presence, pure love, pure wisdom, pure joy, a power greater than ourselves, a wisdom greater than our own, and that we are one of it, that although it is greater than us, it is not separate from us, and we are not ever separate from it. There is nothing we could ever do to separate ourselves from that infinite life, that infinite love, that infinite power, that infinite wisdom, that infinite joy. We might forget about it, but we're never really separate from it. And so I speak my word that this week, we remember that truth. We engage in that truth. We become receptive to what wants to express through us, what the universe is trying to, as Ernest said, so kind of whatever, shove through us, push through us, invite through us. We open to the flow of life. That we say yes to the greater yet to be that wants to come through us, uniquely flavored as we flavor things through our consciousness. It is good, and we are good. And so and all of this, in gratitude for the wonderful life we live, for most of us, even during all this pandemic and all this stuff around politics and all this, we still live lives that are so much better than just, say, 100 years ago. I'm grateful for, and definitely better than the pilgrims. I'm so grateful for this wonderful life that we live, for the beauty, for the love, for the wisdom in which we are immersed. And so from that sense of gratitude, I release this word into that law, that process that moves it into form and expression. We make ourselves open, receptive, and we simply say, and so it is.